Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily.
Ah. Aloha, Mr. Hyde.
Welcome back to Sports Daily here on a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. You can hear the ukuleles playing, much to my demise. Jacob is here with his Hawaiian shirt. He'll be back momentarily. Miss anything in the first hour? We dug into the Patrick Mahomes ACL situation, what we're hearing from reporters and insiders and the social media people about when we could expect to see him back. We have no idea. We're trying to guess, and it's silly to even speculate. It's Patrick Mahomes. He'll come back whenever Patrick Mahomes is ready. What will that look like for the Chiefs, though, I think is the biggest question. We dug a lot into the KU game we saw last night against Towson. No Darren Peterson. Again, he missed his eighth game of the season. This time it was a quad injury. If you missed any of that, go back on the Odyssey app in the past hour. Find it in the podcasted version as these go out as soon as the show ends. For everybody that may have missed anything on Sports Daily, Jacob, we haven't dug anything into the Jace Brown situation at K-State is our other big news from last night.
Yep, we'll spend our time a little bit there. Of course, we have Shreyas Lada coming this hour as well. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, now pouring the brand new seasonal Bock Lager. Bock, yeah, cold beer that'll give you a warm feeling. Bock Lager available at all three WBC brew pubs, east near Central and Woodlawn, west at 13th and Tyler, in historic Delano at Handley. Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. I don't know, you tell me, like, We'll let's just crack the can and then we'll spend our full segment on it in the next segment. So Jace Brown does not, well, he enters the portal, and we do have to say that doesn't mean he's leaving yet. We have seen guys come back out of the portal. It happens on the same day we see Colin Klein go down and do a presser in College Station on being the Aggies offensive coordinator here, which he handled perfectly, as you would expect he would. If you're a K-State fan, do you root against the Aggies?
Right, I know. Now? That's such an interesting conversation that I've thought about. Of like, do you want to be able to tote around the title of, yeah, our head coach won a national championship as an OC? Or do you want to say, like, yeah, lose that game. We need to fill a roster. Come down here and start recruiting, Colin. I don't know. It's going to happen at four different places, like I believe, or three different places where the coach is going somewhere. Like Ohio State's offensive coordinator is doing the same thing, and a whole bunch of them. That's what he was talking about yesterday, too, in his press conference. So very weird to look at, by the way. Like, to see Colin Klein wearing all this purple and being a head coach and doing all these events and press conferences, and then it's like, oh, he's still wearing that. It's like seeing somebody with their side chick or something like that, I feel like.
Yeah, it is strange. I think the Aggies deserve a lot of credit for how well they're handling it. And Elko and everybody, they introduced him as the K-State head coach, which was kind of fun. I there's a part of me that's like, yeah, it'd be nice if they just lost and he could get, you know, really dig in. But then on the other side of it, there's this part of me that's like, yeah, but it would also be nice if he's front and center in every playoff game broadcast to say, and they're going to lose Colin Klein, because kids at this point that aren't in the playoff are watching these games, right? And you're about to go shopping in the portal, basically. Yep. So
I agree.
I think there could be good and bad to both sides of it, but that happens yesterday. Jace Brown enters the portal. It's a big topic today. We'll get into that in full. Give you our thoughts in the next segment when we have the full amount of time.
I'll say this on the topic of, you know, Colin Klein and the schedule of everything like that while he's down there. I kind of thought that whenever all this stuff happened, that we would have more answers about the coordinators and things at this point before any of this got into play. Because, like, is there, like, you have to delegate responsibilities. Like, they've got their recruiting guy, Taylor Bratt's still there. He's the director of recruiting. Like, is this a situation where it's like, Taylor, just keep making phone calls, call me before we offer anybody, and we'll talk it through. But, like, you're in charge while I'm doing it. Like, because there has to be somebody that's going to do that.
There does. I think it's probably okay right now because while guys are entering the portal, I don't know that there's just a ton of like yesterday we saw the Cincinnati is probably headed to Texas Tech. Like there's a little bit of stuff happening, But I think for the most part right now, it's just guys are getting in.
It's more so a bigger deal if they win this game.
Yeah.
Right now, it's not as big of a deal.
Lasts, right? But quick phone calls can be had either way. Like, just to say, hey, we're interested. Can you give me a week? And if a kid's smart, he would say, well, sure, I can. Because a lot of the most attractive places are teams that are playing right now, right? Like,
yeah.
Everybody, it's not like K-State's unique in that they have to balance two things. Mike Elko has to balance being the head coach of A&M and trying to make sure they have enough portal players for next year. Texas Tech is shopping for a quarterback right now in the portal. Like, it's crazy. And this is the stupid calendar, and we've talked about it 1,000 times, but it's not unique to K-State to have a distracted head coach on December 17th. Every team in the playoffs has a distracted head coach right now as the portal is open. So you just have to manage it the right way. Coordinators would help, but those coordinators for all these playoff teams are also busy. I think that, you know, I would be stunned if he didn't pull somebody from A&M into a bigger role at Kansas State. So there's that piece of it. I don't know if that would be something as bold as an offensive coordinator, but you could. Like, who's the wide receivers coach there? Like, who has he worked closely with that he trusts and likes? And, you know, that possibility is there. Somebody's probably getting a real big promotion from Texas A&M because Klein will probably poach him. Yep. Or maybe he doesn't because Elko said, we're going to support you fully. Don't take any of my coaches. Who knows? Elko's been around long enough that that's probably an unreasonable ask. It's probably don't take my coordinators, but if you want to take a positional coach, like, we can live with that. I mean, it's coaching. Like, they change all the time.
Yeah.
So that exists too.
I'm curious. I'm curious on these coordinator positions. I think that the fact is, like, he's done so much K-State-esque hires of the two that he's made. I'm saying all so much of. But, like, he's made it abundantly clear, like, we want people that understand the K-State way and things like that. So, like, I don't know.
Which usually doesn't work out very well.
I'm with you on that. That's what's the scary part of that. I wonder.
I don't know if I believe it.
I know. I wonder how far he's going to stray away from that. Like, is he going to say, like, hey, our special teams guy is a K-State alum, and our GM's a K-State alum, and our wide receiver coach is a K-State right. alum, and now we're going to go get these two random guys for our offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator.
Yeah, like, I don't know what random. I hope that he gets coordinators. I don't know. I'm 50-50. I hope at least one of his coordinators, whether it's special teams or offense or whatever it is somebody that's been around for a really long time. Or somebody that's had some head coaching. And I know Matt Wells, everybody rolls their eyes, and Matt Wells didn't need to stay. But somebody that kind of profiles that way, because there are going to be parts of this first year that are going to be hard and kind of catch them off guard, where somebody, it might be nice to have somebody that says, hey, you know, this is, don't lose sight of this. All the things that client, there are going to be growing pains, everybody. Like, a lot of them probably. Dude's never been a head coach anywhere. Have you ever organized an entire week's worth of practices and travel schedules and dealt with scheduling games and, like, the all Colin Klein's ever had to do is coach so far as a coach and recruit, coach and recruit. I would assume that's all he's had to do. I say that. I don't know that, but I'm pretty sure it's coach and recruit. Well, guess what? Being a head coach requires a whole hell of a lot more than coaching and recruiting. And probably you don't get to do as much coaching as you'd like to because you're doing all these other things. He's going to have to learn how to do that. This isn't the NFL. This isn't Andy Reid also gets to call the plays.
I agree.
Like,
this isn't that's the one thing that I've been talking about this entire Klein climate situation, of the fact of, like, Colin Klein's great and he's a great coordinator. He's never coached before. Like, there's got to be some great, like, there's a chance that it doesn't work. Like, you just have to understand that this is a scary situation to hire a guy at K-State who's never been a head coach before. Like, this isn't, no disrespect, because they're going to hire him. This isn't South Florida getting Colin Klein. You know what I mean? Like, I think he'll do great.
And it's the right hire, and they're so 100%. Lucky that it happened. And, yes. And, like, awesome. And everything's
fans,
great.
Fans rising star. Fans need to feather their expectations a little bit. Like, there's got to be a grace period.
There does. He might have a team that doesn't have Avery Johnson, Jace Brown, or Dylan Edwards on it. So, like, yeah, let's hang tight a minute and see what they've got to work with. And there are, look, Cliff Kingsbury is one of the great offensive minds we've seen in this generation of football. Didn't take to head coaching quite as well and is an amazing coordinator everywhere he goes. He didn't win many games at Texas Tech, right? He was pretty pedestrian, and he was their golden boy. I mean, he was. So if you like, don't laugh at a comparison to Cliff Kingsbury. This literally happened in Lubbock for Texas Tech. Cliff Kingsbury came in, first time head coach. He was the golden boy. He was this offensive guru, this brilliant mind. They get him back there. It's the greatest hire ever. And it was, by the way, just like this is. But there were parts of it that he just wasn't the best. So I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm saying let's come into this with reasonable expectations right out of the gate and hope that he blows them out of the water. But don't start with the high expectations that's not reachable. So who is he going to have on the roster? Jace Brown News. That'll be next. We'll talk about it and discuss as we roll through Sports Daily.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Hey, you want to win a free cup of iced tea on us? You can do that right now by texting the keyword tea to the short code 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. This will be for HTO at any of the metro locations, East Wichita, West Wichita, or in Derby. More than 25 flavors of sweet and unsweet iced tea to choose from. Great holiday gifts. Get your gift cards, your cups, your merch, your swag. If you're East or in Derby, grab one of the new LTO coffee drinks. But again, to win the free cup of tea at HTO, it is the keyword tea texted to 20357. Good luck, everybody. You know, it's funny. I'm just looking back. This hadn't dawned on me until right in the last segment as we're talking through it with Colin Klein. Guess where Cliff Kingsbury? Guess what his job was right before he became the head coach of Texas Tech?
The A&M coordinator.
That is correct.
Wow.
A offensive coordinator for one season at Texas A&M. One season. Same thing. Same exact thing. And look, his time at Tech was not great. It wasn't awful. He had a good first year. Of course, he developed Mahomes. He developed, you know, we had Baker Mayfield. Like, he was kind of a, it's kind of when you started to see, like, this guy's kind of a quarterback whisperer. And then he parlayed that into a, you know, career at the Arizona Cardinals that didn't go particularly well. And now he's just kind of back to doing what he does best. I'm not saying that's going to happen with Colin Klein. I'm saying they had the same situation there. One of the best quarterbacks in school history was flying up the coaching ranks. You're able to get him back home, storybook. And then it didn't go as well as people had hoped. And I'm not saying that's going to happen with Klein. I'm saying you have to understand he's got to learn how to be a head coach and let there be some room for that. K-State fans have been disappointed with Chris Klieman winning eight games a year. You better hope Colin Klein wins eight games a year. And that's always been the danger of trying to run off a great coach. And not that Kleiman was run off or anything like that. And Klein is back where he belongs. And you hope this works out because he's the kind of guy who you would envision stays forever if it does. And he breathes it. And it just is perfect if he's able to do it well. We haven't seen it yet. Let's see it. And let's see who he's going to coach, because that becomes the big question now. We talked a little bit about the coordinators yesterday. Jace Brown enters the portal. Jace Brown has flirted with the portal. This is the third year he's flirted with the portal.
Basically.
But he's been their leading receiver every year for a while, and he's very tethered to Avery Johnson. So
yeah. One thing that I saw yesterday that best describes the because when you think about this, I'm sure that you're the same way, and I'm sure all the listeners are the same way, is that when the leading receiver goes to the portal, what does that mean for the quarterback? And that's the biggest question about all this stuff. And there was questions about Jace Brown on its own. You want to have Jace Brown back. He's probably the best receiver that you've had, and A long time. It's been since 2020, at least. I don't know what name you want to throw out there. They've had good tight ends. He only wasn't the leading receiver in his freshman year because Ben Sinnott was, and I think he was like right there with Phillip Brooks, basically, who was a senior that year. Anyways, the question surrounding the Avery J situation, I can't remember who said this. It was some K-State reporter that I'm friends with. They said that they're tethered to each other, and they've, you know, this has been something that they've talked about in the past as well, but I think that it's more so the fact of if Avery left, then Jace Brown's going to leave. Sure. Not so much the fact of if Jace Brown leaves, Avery's going to leave. And so I think that there's already the question mark around Avery leaving. This doesn't help for sure, but I don't think it's the nail in the coffin. I think that there's still a chance, but it's still a question mark, and nobody knows the answer to that question.
Two of the players most closely tied, we think, on a personal level to Avery Johnson, Dylan Edwards and Jace Brown, are both gone.
Correct.
I don't. So here's what I would say. It doesn't lead to anything. I think Avery Johnson is and needs to be and is far more concerned about making it to the NFL than playing another year of college football with his buddies. Right.
His buddies are the best target he's had in his career. Who's going to throw the ball to?
But that doesn't mean it can't be better than them somewhere, whether it's wherever they end up or whether K-State.
Oh, yeah. He's not going to go transfer where Jace transfers. That's not the
thing. Like, I think to draw the – now, Avery may leave, but I don't think it's going to be because Jace Brown left and Dylan Edwards left. He's had those guys for a couple of years. If Avery leaves, it needs to be and probably will be because there's a better opportunity with better players. So if K-State can somehow go out into the portal and get a few of those players, now with Colin Klein, I think there's a chance he could stay. So I don't see the Jace Brown news and think, oh, that's it for Avery. I don't. I think Avery's got to make a decision totally exclusive of any other player, any other anything. The first thing he has to evaluate is, does Colin Klein give me the best shot to make it to the NFL? Obviously, those two, like, they had a relationship, right? He helped recruit him. So that's one thing. That's the first and most important thing is, who's going to coach me? The next thing is, are we going to have the players here that can let me put on enough of a resume tape for the NFL to fill out my lifelong dreams? That's all that matters. So if it's not Jace Brown, it better be somebody else. If you're K-State, like, K-State's top priority this season in the portal more than anything else needs to be, how do we go find a couple of wide receivers and make sure, because the line, right, you know this better than I do, the line in pretty good shape.
It wasn't good this past year.
But it should be better, right? Like, I think at least that's the expectation. Through experience, they got better the year. Look at Joe.
I guess the one thing about the line is that George Fitzpatrick, the Ohio State transfer, didn't get to play at all because of the medical thing he had earlier in the season. They would get him back, and that would help a lot. And that was kind of a thing that they're missing this year. Other than that, I think that they graduate a little bit. I don't have no idea what it's going to look like, honestly.
Yeah,
like,
we'll ask Fitz that tomorrow. But, like, you know, they started to run the ball effectively toward the end of the year. All of those things. I thought, to me, it was like they're getting better there. because it, at the start of the year, it was like a total unknown. Like that's what we were talking about all summer. Like, how good is this line going to be? And then it wasn't very good for a while. And it, but you better have some weapons. And if you don't, Avery's got to go. Like that's the crap part of it. Like Avery's got to go try to make it to the NFL, and he's going to have to be better than he was this year. NFL scouts didn't forget about Avery Johnson, right? Like he's there. It won't take much for a good year to be like, oh yeah, this kid's wildly talented.
Exactly. Like he hasn't fallen off the boards, and that's what everybody always says about. And it's the same is true for college coaches. If he entered the portal, like people know who Avery Johnson is in these circles. Like everybody that I talk to, like, well, I don't know if Avery's played. Like Avery couldn't go play in the SEC. He hasn't played good enough. And I'm like, if you've ever, like, if you watch the full game, like, I understand there's things that he has done wrong. Turn on a highlight reel of Avery Johnson. There's not that many quarterbacks that can do the things that he's done.
Like, look at what Pavia did this year at Vanderbilt.
No.
And tell me that Avery Johnson can't go be great in the SEC. Like, give me a break.
I tell people all the time, like, for as little as Will Howard had to do at Ohio State, because his team was so stinking good. Like the argument all the time was Will versus Avery that year because they got rid of Will to keep Avery. And it's like, yeah, Will Howard looks great at Ohio State. What would Avery Johnson look like playing behind that offensive line with those wide receivers? Like he'd look awesome too. Like that's like at this point and has been, K-State is swimming upstream to try to keep Avery Johnson. Like and the odds.
It's okay. Like if they don't, it's okay.
I agree. I'm just saying, like, for people that want to know if he's going to stay, the odds are against K-State, in my opinion. I think Colin Klein helps the odds, but it's not going to be, like, the major shocker if he leaves. Because at this point, like, they're having to fight pretty – they'll have to fight pretty hard to keep Avery, I think.
I think the resources will be there. Like, the resources will be there like they have always been. I don't know that I'd say it's less likely or more likely just because I don't really know. I would guess that it's probably 50-50 at best.
I mean, it's the situation, like to put it in normal people analogies, it's basically like you're at your, you know, factory job. We'll say farmer, it's K-State. You're farming the crops, doing all this stuff, and it's your dad's farm, and you're just doing the right thing and going to work every day and hopping on the tractor. And then somebody comes around and says, hey, we will buy a farm if you come work for us. Here is all this money that will set you up for the rest of your life. Do you want to come work for us or do you want to stay on your dad's farm, basically? You know what I mean?
And like, it happens all the time, man. It does. And guys choose to stay. Are you going to tell me that Jalen Daniels never had bigger offers over? Like, guys choose to stay for all kinds of reasons. Avery Johnson has worn the K-State banner and been the poster boy for K-State for 3 years. Walking away from that's not easy. It's not. I know. And especially when the resources are comparable. So now it is, if Colin Klein chooses to say Avery Johnson staying is our top priority, we don't even know that that's the case. But if that's what he says and thinks, okay, how do you go into the portal now then and ensure at least two good receivers, right? Because that's where you'd have to start. The tight ends are in place. I think the line is in place. I don't know about the running game as a whole, but at minimum, you have got to go get some big-time receivers. And they're out there. Think about what KU did in the wide receiver room this past offseason. They brought in some pretty talented dudes at wide receiver. Like there's going to be all those SEC guys that are third and fourth string that run 4.240s and were five-star recruits. Go have those conversations. You want to come be a starter? You want to come catch 80 balls this year? Let's go. You know, like they're trying to make it to the NFL too.
I agree. I mean, if there was that's the beauty of the transfer portal. This is the good part of it that everybody always talks about how bad it is. This is the good part of it. If you want to fix things, you can fix them in a month. Like that's what this is made for. So I agree. They're going to have to be aggressive and they're going to have to do it because they can't run it back. And this season, like, they added some pieces around him and everything like that. Like Jaron Brantley was okay. And I can't remember the Tibbs was pretty good. If they can keep Tibbs, it'll help them as well. So like, it won't be the worst wide receiver core, but Jace Brown's the best wide receiver that they've had for the last 3 years. Basically.
Can we do something here? And Jace Brown is legitimately one of my favorite players to watch. Like, I mean that. But can we stop pretending that Jace Brown is like one of the best receivers in the country?
I mean, he could.
He's never caught more than 50 balls in a season.
He's been hurt.
He's been hurt. Right? Like, it sucks to lose Jace Brown. He's as good a deep threat. He's all the great things that he is. But it's not like he's been this key piece for the K-State offenses over the years. He's caught 27, 47, and 41 balls for them in his career. He's good. Never caught more than 5 touchdowns in a season. Like, this isn't Luke Grimm out there, if we're keeping it local. Like, he's been a talented guy that, in my opinion, hasn't ever reached his ceiling either. Just like Dylan Edwards, just like Avery Johnson.
I don't know.
So can you get better than Jace Brown? Maybe that's why Jace Brown's out. Maybe Colin Klein came in and said, you know what, dude? Like, we're going to go get some dudes. Like, maybe you could. I'm not saying that happened. It probably didn't. But we've got to stop pretending for just a second. Like, Jace Brown is like the greatest receiver of all time.
That'll be my homework today. I'll look up Jace Brown's stats comparative to years past at K-State. Like, he's got to be like, maybe Malik Knowles, if that was his name, was on the championship team. I think that Jace Brown was better than Malik Knowles was. Like,
really?
They've historically, I mean, since I've covered K-State, Ben Sinnott was the best receiver on the team. And then it turned into Jace Brown. And like, that's what they've shown you. And before that, they didn't throw the ball. They had Deuce Vaughn.
Yeah, Deuce. I mean, you know, that changed a little bit. In 2022, Malik Knowles, 48 catches, 725 yards, and 2 touchdowns. That is basically the equivalent of Jace Brown's best years. Phillip Brooks, kind of the same. More catches, fewer yards, more touchdowns, I think. I mean, I got to go back. K-State's had a lot of really great receivers. This current, like, 4 or 5 year stretch since you've been covering them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jace Brown's the most explosive. Jace Brown's the most talented, for sure. But what has that meant? Right? It's like, I guess my point is, let's not just say, and I wish Jace Brown would have stayed. Don't misunderstand either. But let's not pretend like they can't get better at wide receiver than they've had with just Jace Brown. Because they can. They better, or they won't keep Avery Johnson.
I mean, I agree with your sentiment of if they went out and found themselves Emmanuel Henderson, Cam Pickett, and Bryson Canty, like KU did, like, that'd be a hell of a wide receiver core to throw in. Like, KU did.
That's what I'm saying.
I agree. Like, that's fine. But, like, you got to do it. Like, you got to go like, Emmanuel Henderson was kind of a big fish. Like, I imagine that was a pretty big target for KU to go get. Like, if you've just got to invest into that side. But the thing is that it's the same argument that we keep making of the Chiefs. K-State's got holes to fill. Like, they're going to be a different team. Like, a lot of key guys are going to graduate and aren't going to be there, which happens every year. But, like, as you transition into a new era, like, and you want to make yourself a better team, like, there's a lot of conversations that are going to have to be had.
Yeah, Jace Brown, one of the all-time great deep threats at K-State. He's the 8th leading receiver in school history. So, again, I don't want to make it out like I wish Jace Brown would have stayed. I really do. But they can go make the wide receiver room better even without him. They have to, or they're not going to keep Avery Johnson. That's my point. Don't sit there and panic. Oh, no, we don't have Jace Brown. Now we don't have anything. Well, go get some guys. Like, go get collectively better at that. Because having just one guy has not worked now for a couple of years with Avery Johnson. One guy and a bunch of tight ends. How about a bunch of tight ends and 3 good receivers? Let's see what happens. And you've got the guy to go find him. Nobody's watched those guys closer than, you know, than Colin Klein in the SEC this year. He sees him every week. He watches him on tape all the time. Go find him. Is there some dude at Texas A&M? Like, I don't think he would go down that road, but maybe there's a guy that Elko says, God, you could give this kid a great opportunity. Why don't, like that kind of stuff happens all the time. So hopefully it can, because if it doesn't, they won't keep Avery.
I agree. I'm at the point now, like, it's so hard in college to even understand any of this stuff. Like, I need to see players start coming in and start looking at depth charts, basically, because at this point, like, and we've said it for 2-3 weeks since Klein's gotten hired, about like, we don't know much. Like, there's so many questions about this team. Like, and this is kind of, it's starting. Like, this is the thing that we talked about, of how busy, like, K-State football will be in the news cycle for the next 3 months pretty heavily, because there's just so much stuff that people don't know.
KU better be in it too, by the way.
KU just needs to go get players. And that's their
thing. They better also be in the news cycle.
They will be, but theirs is just getting transfers. K-State is getting transfers and an offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator.
If your expectation is to do it in the Avery Johnson and keep him and do it in that window and all those things, this needs to be a transfer year. It has to be. Yeah. And Texas Tech was able to do it, but they had a lot of money behind theirs. You know, wasn't that a bunch of former players that led that initiative? Like, what are, you know, Jordy Nelson and all the offensive linemen over the years? Like, what are those guys up to? Like, do they have one run in them? Like, can they take one swing at this thing and get their boy Colin Klein some players?
That's the thing. That's what somebody talked to me about, is the fact of, like, if there was anything that's going to get your donors juiced up, Tyron Colin Klein, they might have a big year.
Lightning in a bottle that way. I wouldn't recommend that every year for K-State. I'd recommend it this year. It'll be fun. We'll talk to Fitz about it tomorrow.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Shreya Slata, the reporter for KU basketball, football. We've been talking football, but we're going to talk basketball right now. Shreya, big winners over Towson last night. I thought it was a really nice performance. No Darren Peterson. We'll get to him in a minute. But the more we see Florida Badunga and Melvin Council take on bigger roles, especially offensively, I think the better it is for this team, because it sure looks like this will be one of the better defensive teams in the country.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, you know, the more they get situated offensively, it's only going to be better for Kansas. Defense is obviously its calling card this year. Like, it tends to be under Bill Self. But they're really, really good defensively. I mean, it feels like every game they're limiting opponents to below 35% shooting. Like, it's nobody's business.
Yeah, we'll just go right to Darren Peterson here. It's a quad thing this time. It's not a hamstring thing. It's not the cramping thing. Is it better or worse news that it's a different thing?
Well, it's a quad cramping thing. So it's still cramping. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how much you guys watched of Bill Self's, like, press conference yesterday.
Not yesterday, but the day before.
Yeah, he answered a ton of questions about it. Like, I asked a few, and then the other media member asked one or two, but I wrote a story about this, but it was interesting because Bill was like, we're still considering it day to day. He's like, the issue that he's having is his body's not reacting to what his mind wants him to do, or sorry, his brain's not reacting to what his body wants him to do. So, like, he practiced before the Towson game, but he just wasn't moving the way they want him to move. And he was like, you saw it, guys. Like, he was moving like he was in the Missouri game or the NC State game. And he noted, obviously, in the Missouri game, it was more due to sickness than due to anything leg related. But he's like, it's something he was asked if he was worried. He was like, I'm concerned, but not worried, I think was the wording that he used. He's been concerned about it for like about 5 weeks now, right? Because they've been dealing with hamstring cramps and this and that. I think, you know, it doesn't, he could play against Monday against Davison, but also, like, if he doesn't feel great, you know, in the sense of, like, since the NC State cramps, they're still figuring out how to make him feel 100% instead of 70%. He probably sits out the Davison game and doesn't come back till conference play at the earliest, which is January 3rd against UCF. This entire situation is such a interesting situation, is the word I'll use, because I know he's frustrated. Bill's talked about his campus. I can sense it. You know, they're not picking the phone. And I think everyone just wants him back out on the court. He wants to be out on the court, but they just haven't quite figured out the solution to this now cramping issue that has popped back up again. And I asked Bill about it, and he talked about how Devontae Graham used to have cramps as bad as anybody, and it took him a while to get back to normal. And I think somebody said it was mustard packets that got that helped him out there. But I wrote about this in my story before yesterday. Peterson had a cramp last year against AJ DiMonza when he was at Prolific Prep. It was a toe cramp. And he took a mustard packet, and he was back out there. He didn't miss any games. I'm not sure, maybe because it's a different cramp in a different area, you know. It's not working with mustard or whatever, or pickle juice or this and that. But from what Bill Self said yesterday, it seems like they're trying a lot of different things. They're talking to other medical staffs around the country. You know, he's looking at past situations with different guys. I think everyone wants him out in the court, Self included.
Yeah, well, they do. But, you know, risk reward at this point, I'm kind of with you. I'm not sure it makes a lot of sense to push it at this point until the UCF game. But what do you get the sense of how practice is going? We were talking about this. Like, is he going full speed at practice and then they're able to pull back if it cramps? I think the statement said there were cramps in practice. Are they not practicing as hard? Like, what has been the routine on that?
Well, I think he's going like 70%. And he's cramping, or like he just doesn't trust his body right now to go fully. Yeah. And he's cramping a little bit every time he pushes it. And I think that's the thing. It's like, we haven't seen a fully healthy Darren Peterson like the entire year. And this guy's still averaging 19 points a game and 5 rebounds or whatever. That's nuts to me.
It is. I mean, it's impressive. I think the thing is that, you know, there's a frustrating part of it. There's really not, from a fan base perspective, there's really not a lot of worry about it. But I think it's more so just curiosity about, like, what does it look like when he plays 40? Like, I think that we just want to see the Band-Aid be ripped off, score 30 points, make everybody happy. And then I think that there will be less, you know, pressure on all of this stuff. The other conversation, I think, through all of this that you kind of brought up is, what's the argument to make about shutting it down? Because as we talked about, the way the schedule's set up, if you could not touch a basketball until January 1st, basically, and you'll be back for Big 12 play. Like, is there thoughts about that? Or do you think that they'll keep pushing through in the practice side of this? Like, where are they?
I mean, do you mean shutting it down until Big 12 play, or do you mean shutting it down?
Yeah, yeah.
Here, okay. Big 12. Okay. Well, I mean, it makes sense, you know, for him to just practice a little bit, see how he feels. I mean, the next game is Monday, so there's a little bit of time. That said, it's not a ton of time, right? It's still like, you know, 4 or 5 days. I think, you know, like just in the general situation of like, even Norm Roberts said it the other day, there's no discussion of shutting it down.
Yeah.
That being said, this hamstring thing has not affected his draft stock at all whatsoever. You go look at the mock drafts, he's still number one. I've talked to NBA draft guys, like evaluators that I trust. They still have no qualms of putting him number one as the best guy in the class. That tells you how special of a talent he is. I mean, we can see it in the spurts. But – you know, like that's other something to concern or like think about, I think, if this continues to roll into the new year, of is there a real reason if you are Darren Peterson and you're dealing with this cramps on and off, this is obviously a hypothetical, of playing basketball if you are still going to be the number one overall pick, even if you don't play. I mean, Kyrie did basically the same thing. He didn't play. And he still got pick number one. So I don't want to put that in anyone's heads, but it is something to think about if this continues to roll on to mid-conference play or whatever.
He's going to be the number one pick. Two things, like we can be worried about is I don't think anything's taking him off the number one pick. I mean, it's jumps off the screen of you when he's out there. Is there a world, you think, Sharice Lotta joining us here, that he just like plays 25 minutes a game for KU this year and that's just kind of what it is?
I mean, I could see it, but this is the thing, right? Like, you know, Bill talked about it yesterday. If you have a Darren Peterson going at 70% and you're trying to interject him back in the lineup, it's like pulling different levers. You can't pull different levers to make that work. And it's just, if he goes in two games, plays, gets hurt again or gets cramps again, and then he misses another game, and they kind of do this back and forth thing, I don't know how beneficial that'll be for anybody, whether it's for him, for the team, for Bill. You know, you want to have some level of continuity and health. And him playing only 25 minutes, I hope he's only playing 25 minutes fully healthy. and they're just managing like his minutes versus he's playing 25 minutes because that's all he could play.
I'll switch us gears here quickly. Let's go to football. Is the Andy Kotelnicki playing Landon in Douglas County yet? You know anything about that?
I've seen the rumors. I think with Andy, you know, like from what I've dug around, look, there's obviously some level of interest in Kansas side. They vacation together, Lance Leipold, and Kotelnicki is what I've heard. I think Kansas has interest. I'm not sure how much interest Andy Kotelnicki has, depending on what other interest he's getting. I think he probably wants a job that he's guaranteed to be the offensive coordinator. I don't know what he would be at Kansas if he were to come back. On top of that, I just don't know what money Kansas has right now to get Andy Kotelnicki after being, you know, in a deficit this past year. And from kind of just talking to people, it seems like if they get Andy Kotelnicki, well, I don't expect there to be any other staff changes.
Is that what we prefer that? I mean, it's Kotelnicki.
I mean, like in the sense of like if you want DK McDonald off this team, if you were a KU fan, I just don't know if they have the $1.27 million to pay the buyout for DK McDonald and also pay for Andy Kotelnicki. Like, yeah. I mean, like unless the staff leaves voluntarily for something else, you know, I could see them just running it back if Andy Kotelnicki is the only addition, like is the addition to the staff.
I guess that's the question is if that's the – and you have a good point about that. What would you rather have? You know, I think that that's the bigger part of this. Would you rather have a elevated offense by bringing in Kotelnicki and just try to score 50 every game and overcome the defense? Or does KU get better by getting rid of their defensive coordinator? Like, that's the question I think fans will have to wrestle with.
I'm not going to sit there and say you should fire DK McDonald, They should look at closely what happened this past year and see if they can remedy that situation, whether that's with a talent infusion or – changing up play calling or whatever they need to do. Just because he was – I mean, like, KU's defense was horrible. KU's defense wasn't great against Brian Borland with Brian Borland, but somehow it was much worse this past year. And to me, Andy Kotelnicki's not going to – like, he's a great offensive genius. I just don't see a scenario where KU's putting up, like, 35-plus a game with whoever's at quarterback next year, especially if they're not bringing a transfer quarterback that's, like – potential Heisman candidate or something like that, which I don't think they are. You know, Isaiah Marshall, Cole Ballard, or whoever gets the starting job is going to have a up and down season just because it's their first season starting.
Here's a hypothetical we talked about with Jacob. There's a school down the road that needs an offensive coordinator. I think Andy Kotelnicki will take a call from them.
I mean, why not? Why not?
He should.
I mean, he doesn't have a job. Everyone's like, why would he come back to Kansas? Well, he doesn't have a job. It's as simple as that. Not having a job makes you do a lot of things you wouldn't do otherwise. A year ago, Andy Kotelnicki was in West Virginia, you know, like head coach hunt. Now, I don't know how favorably Andy Kotelnicki is looked at among college football coaches because he doesn't have a job. If he was that favorably looked at, he probably would have an offensive coordinator job somewhere. Right? Like that guys get picked up all the time and soon with how much movement there's been around the country. You know, I'm surprised a little bit that he doesn't have an offensive coordinator job at some, you know, Big Ten or ACC school at least.
If KU's strapped for cash, are they going to be able to bring in enough players to make next year a competitive year?
I mean, I didn't expect next year to be a competitive year anyways. I mean, like they have 33 seniors graduating. They have the guy who's been the quarterback for 6 years graduating. Everyone says you can reload in the portal. You can do this. You can do that. Internal development. But I mean, let's call it what it is. Lance Leipold's best years are with recruits that guys he didn't recruit.
100%. Like we, you know, that's the big next evolution in his path here.
Yeah, I want to see it if I'm a Kansas fan, but I also want to see it as somebody who's just objective observer of this, of can he recruit guys in the transfer portal and in high school football that will take him to the next step of making a bowl game.
Trey Slott, a beat reporter at the KC Star. Follow his work there at the KC Star. You can follow him on X at SHRE98. Appreciate it, Trius. We won't talk next week. Merry Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas, guys.
All right. See you then. All right, that'll do it for us here on Sports Daily. PJ Glasser's coming in tomorrow, and Rams Seahawks on Thursday night. Are you kidding me? Let's go with that. There's betting implications. There's fantasy implications. Cannot wait for that conversation. And then how do we approach some of these eliminated teams on the bets? Are there opportunities there? We'll talk to him about that. And then we'll get the latest from Fitz in Manhattan, Jace Brown news, all of it, and maybe some rumblings of what's going on there. That's coming for you on Thursday. TJ, enjoy golf today. I'll be jealous.
Jacob, we buried the lead. We got a Hutch National Championship game tonight.
6 o'clock in beautiful Canyon, Texas, at the campus of my alma mater. Go Blue Dragons. We'll get you caught up on that if you miss it today, too. All right, that's it for us. For Max, for TJ, thanks to Shreya Slada. We'll see you tomorrow.